Stand by, Bill. It's coming. It's coming. There we go. Right there. Lunchtime. Am I interfering with the two of you eating lunch right now? Oops. What? Here.
Hold on. Jasmine and I are hungry, Wendy, so she's having mac and cheese. And because I'm a grown man, I'm having chewy lemon heads. Do me a favor. Try one of these and tell me which other candy they taste just like.
All right. Can I just say they're pink?
Yeah.
Oh, they're pink
lemonade flavored chewy lemon heads.
I'll tell you what I had for lunch then, too.
All right. I'm curious, but tell me what... They taste just like another candy, and I'll tell you what it is when you...
Starburst?
No. It's just like Pez. But they're not Pez.
Don't.
You don't think so?
No.
Mmm, Pez.
They're totally a different consistency.
Oh, the consistency is completely different.
And the flavor.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a Pez feel from them.
I'm getting a Starburst.
Yeah.
Internet outages are more than an annoyance. They can hurt your business's bottom line. Many outages are beyond the network's control.
God, help us.
How
now.
Did Steve Cochran get in on here?
I'm telling you right now, if we're not in our studio tomorrow, I'm not doing the bonus hour.
You're not going to do the bonus hour?
I'm not.
Wendy.
This commercial just...
Don't say that.
Jasmine, you saw me. I did not touch it. Bill, I was talking to you, and all of a sudden, Steve Cochran...
You just jumped in.
And scared me. And I'm already scared because I got a fraud alert with my card.
What happened there?
I got a text saying that someone is using my card. And
Steve Cochran?
You know, this is ironic because I found Steve Cochran's wallet today.
What's in there? What's in his wallet?
A ton of money.
Yeah, he's very rich.
I didn't look in it.
He's very wealthy.
I didn't look in it because if there was a ton of money, I would have been too tempted.
He could buy and sell me and you without a blink. He wouldn't even think about it. He's rich.
All right, so Jasmine's having a lean cuisine or whatever.
Yeah, mac and cheese.
You're having...
Chewy lemon heads.
Where did
you
small get
box. They were under here. Under this console, there's a bunch of hidden candy.
That's not for you.
It's not. I thought it was
Did you really take it from there?
Yeah. There's more in there if you want some.
You can't just take stuff.
No one said anything.
Because no one's here.
Jasmine's here.
That's Catherine's.
Yeah,
what, is
it?
There anything good in there?
No, this is the best thing I could find, the chewy lemon heads.
Because you know what I had to do?
What?
Who's the first person you go to who has food when you're hungry?
Stephanie, one of our bosses.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, do you have any pretzels or anything? I need something like that. And she said, no gorge, just cookies. And I look, and there's a little tray of cookies. And I said, how long have they been sitting there? And she said, 3 days.
Yeah.
I said, all right.
Mm, you still went with them.
It was very, it was still pretty fresh.
That's excellent, yeah.
I had just a butter cookie.
There's a lot of food in her office. I don't know what's
butter
going on.
Butter cookie?
All right, that's it for today's bonus hour, everybody. Hope you enjoyed yourselves.
That wasn't even dirty. You just stole somebody's stuff.
I don't know. I think that's community property under there. I think that was here when we moved in.
No.
You don't think it was?
You know what else? And I shouldn't even call you on this, but the fine folks at Anderson's Candy Shop.
Nothing beats these treats.
Something was, I don't know where you got this food from. Did you go to Anderson's and they gave you stuff, or was it delivered here?
I don't know. There was, on my desk, there was a thing of Heath Toffee.
Mm-hmm.
Or just Toffee. I guess Heath is a brand name. It wasn't Heath. It was a different one that I guess they left for me.
Well, I think it was for us.
No, it was just for me.
And then Bill gave me a little praline, as my mother-in-law would say, and Jazz, you and I split that.
Yeah.
He has a whole bag of stuff.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem, and you just stole from someone.
I don't think so, Wendy. That just seems like it's whoever finds it can keep it.
This is a production studio used by Ernie.
Yeah.
Bert. Or Catherine.
Big Bird. Beaker. Can I tell you a scary story from the other night?
Yeah, you sure there aren't pretzels
in the middle of the night? No, I didn't see any pretzels.
Hold on.
Because you go for the candy, I go for the carbs.
You know what candy's in here that I don't think we can have? Do you ever see these? They're shaped like pencils, and when you squeeze them, like goo comes out, like candy goo.
Who wants to eat candy goo?
That's the name of them. Candy goo.
It doesn't say that.
Look, it's shaped like kind of like a giant pen, and then when you push it upwards, there was one that had already been pushed. I'll show it to you. Yeah, well, that'd be a good name for a candy. Candy goo.
I don't think you're supposed to be going
in. Here it is. This one was already used. You could shoot somebody with this one. This is dangerous. Mmm, delicious candy goo.
Listeners, I'm just curious. If you borrow someone's office, which technically we're doing right now, and you find a Arizona iced tea case container filled with various candies, do you just help yourself to them?
Yes.
I know you do.
I think the answer is a resounding yes.
I don't.
I do. No, I do.
I think you can just do that.
I think you're supposed to. It's they put it out to make you feel welcome. It's their way of saying our home is your home. It's Mi casa is Bill's casa, they say.
It's not put out. It's hidden underneath the counter.
It can't be hidden very well because I found it in like 5 seconds. It took me 5 seconds
to find it.
You're
like a bloodhound.
For candy.
Or you're a candy hound.
I'm a candy hound. I am. I'll admit it. All right. Quick background. Over the weekend, I stayed in Indianapolis for this tennis tournament. So Saturday night and Sunday morning at just a few minutes shy of 1 a.m., this alarm goes off. Like
fire alarm?
Like, they're not kidding. Yeah, blaring.
What time was this?
A little before 1 o'clock, just before 1 o'clock. So along with the blaring alarm is an announcement. And I don't remember the exact wording because I was still sleeping as it's been. But the word emergency and evacuation and all kinds of really awful words are being used, letting you know this is not a drill. Something's going down. So I'm just laying there and I'm thinking, if it was a drill, though, they would still say it wasn't a drill.
Oh, my God. You thought about it?
Mm-hmm.
Did you leave?
Yeah, I did. I left. I took my wee willy winky hat off and I put on a baseball cap because I want to look presentable to the other people. All right, so they're evacuating the building, and I was thinking about what you and I went through a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, our
Jasmine,
training.
You were doing this. So at this training, they explained that if a building is on fire, even though your natural instinct is to go downstairs because that's where the ground is, that sometimes you shouldn't. You should go upstairs.
Stay where you are. That's another.
Or stay where you are, except the announcement made it clear that the building needed to be evacuated immediately.
How many floors in this building? Was it a high rise?
Eight floors. It used to have 9 floors, but that's another story. Anyway. That's fun.
I missed you.
So in my head, because I was still groggy from my sleep,
right?
Because I was in my sleep, I thought to myself, do I A, follow their directions of go down and evacuate the building, B, follow our building's evacuation route, which is go upstairs.
Stupid.
Or C, remain where I am.
Okay, but the whole point of our training, which evidently you missed,
mm-hmm.
is when an alarm goes off, your brain tells you, get out.
Right.
I'm going to go down. I'm going to find a stairwell. Don't use elevators. We know that.
Yeah, they kept saying don't use elevators.
But they said at our training that whoever is on duty here at the building will give you directions as to whether to evacuate, stay put,
right.
or go up a floor.
Right.
So the fact that this building, the alarm was going off and the loudspeaker was saying exit the building.
Right.
That's what you do. You don't do what's in our building because it's not our building.
Right. I think they were telling us that because we're higher up. We're on the 18th floor. I was on the 6th floor. There, I think there were 8 or 9 floors in the hotel. So I was on the 6th. So
maybe the fire was on the 7th. So they said, get out. You can't.
Right.
Say, what would our building do?
But if the fire was below me,
they would have said stay put.
They weren't talking to us like it wasn't a regular person. It was a recorded emergency announcement,
and it said to exit the building.
Yeah,
then I would have exited the building.
They kept saying the word evacuation and emergency and not a drill, like all things that made you believe, oh, they're not messing around. They want us out of this building and fast. All right. So a couple things happened whilst evacuating. Thing number one, there was a family on my floor that had a dog. Aww. And the dog was using up all the available aisle space, like because people were in various states of panic, disbelief, confusion.
And pajamas.
There was a lot of nightwear.
There was a lot of. Because it was 1 a.m.
Yeah. Everybody was dressed for sleep, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I won't sleep naked. Seriously,
in case of an emergency.
Honest to God, that is why.
No, it's yeah.
Because you don't have time to grab things. Were there naked women?
There were no naked women. There were one or two women who I think, if they had to do it over again, would have taken a few more moments to
get
to
a wrap,
wear something more substantial. There was one guy wearing a very blousy pair of pajamas that I would, I don't know the guy, so it wasn't my place to say to him, but I would say to him, I would rethink this, even if it's just you and maybe your wife who sees this. This is
not a good look.
No.
All right, so the dog was taking up the hallway because it was probably going back and forth.
Right.
Where that's where you have to have your dog trained to heel. Kona would stay right to my left-hand side.
Well, all I kept thinking is, because I know when I eventually do die,
it's going to be because
there will be an animal somehow involved.
You're right.
And I kept thinking, I'm going to be the last guy out of this building because their dog is in. There's no emergency as far as the dog's concerned. He's just taking all kinds of time.
It's probably nervous too because the alarm's pretty loud, and you'll die at the hands of an animal. There'll be an animal involved or me. Those are the two options.
In my head, it's a combination of those two things. It's you and a crazed squirrel, and then it's the end of me. But I thought, watch this be the thing, and then all my friends at the funeral would think that was hysterical. If Dominic the dog had been a little bit faster, yeah, I guess.
That's what you do. You give and give and give till you're gone.
There's nothing left to give sometimes.
All right, so
we eventually get outside.
Were the kids scared?
You know what's funny is most of the people who were scared were not the kids, but there were some adults that were very nervous about it.
That would have been me.
There was quite a bit of that. Once we got outside, everybody seemed to be okay, and the fire trucks were just pulling up as we all got outside. There were various exits, so people were kind of strewn about the parking lot.
No one was trying to use the elevators?
No, you couldn't get... This was very strange. Where the elevators were, the doors had some kind of magnets to get into. I won't say the name of the hotel chain, but to get to where the elevators were, there was like a small room with six elevators, and the doors had magnets on them that during the rest of the stay, you could easily keep the door open or closed, but I think the magnets locked, so you couldn't get into the elevator
bank. Right, because they don't want you
they
to
don't want
do
you
that.
Right.
Not during a fire,
right.
Ever.
Right. So this was the best part of being outside, was a couple... I ran into some of the guys from my team outside, and as we're talking, there were three of us together, a couple came up and said to one of my friends, Brian, he goes, where is the shopping mall from here? And we're just... The way the hotel is situated at this place in Indianapolis, you can see it. It's across the street, but there's an indoor walkway, like a bridge from our hotel to the... Indianapolis Fashion Center, it's called. So Brian goes, the mall's close. It's right there. It's right behind me. And then the guy says to Brian, good, because we're going to wait this out at the mall. And we all nod. And then as they walk away, I say to them, are malls in Indianapolis open 24 hours?
Yeah, why do they think it's
not
open?
I don't know. But they walked. You just saw them tail off into the horizon because they figured this would be a good time to go to... Wicks and Sticks.
They don't have that
at 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why. Well, in case you needed candles, maybe they were smarter than us. Turned out, all it was a pipe had burst on one of the floors, and water was coming through the ceiling into some of the rooms, and that set off some sort of an emergency alarm.
Oh.
But here's the crazy end to this. As we're leaving yesterday. We had a certain checkout time was noon, but I extended mine to 1 because of the tournament. I go, I'm going to want to come back and shower before I drive home. Didn't get back there till almost 2. So I'm talking to the guy and I'm saying, look, I don't want to be a problem. I wanted to be out of here a long time ago, but I'm going to need an extra 20 minutes, please. He goes, yeah, absolutely. So there's a woman complaining about what happened last night. And this was her story. She wanted a full refund. She wanted 3 days refunded.
Okay, it didn't happen 3 days. It happened one day.
But she insisted. She said, I must have my 3 days back. And the guy goes, why, ma'am? And she said, well, last night you did this to us at 5 minutes, or it was like 20 minutes to one, but I think she said 5 minutes to one. It was almost 1 in the morning. It's 5 minutes to one. She said, and then I had to be up at 6 a.m. for my match, and I lost, and it's because of you, and I made this whole trip for nothing, and I demand all my money back. And he said, well, ma'am, we're not going to do that. He said, if you have any damaged items... We'll be happy to pay for those. Just, take some pictures, let us know. And she goes, no, that's not good enough. She said, this is the best part. She goes, don't make me put this on social media because I will bring this place down. And he goes, And I give him a look like, I'm pretty sure your hotel chain will not close because this woman wants her money back. I can't imagine a scenario like that. So they went back and forth and back and forth, and she was furious. And she said again as she left, this will appear on social media. As if to say, boy, I would not want to be you right now. This is the last time I'll set foot in one of these, because your chain is going to be gone in minutes once social media catches up with you.
That's how people do it, though. So she didn't get a refund?
She didn't get a refund. And then I said to him, hey, I was there last night, 2 a.m. I need you to make my next few car payments. And he goes, done. He goes, done.
Did you really say that? And he left.
Yeah, I'll do that for you. Yeah, absolutely. I can do that.
See, I just don't like this expecting something for nothing.
Free.
Thing.
She wanted 3 free nights because of this.
I might have asked to get that night comped with the alarm. I guess
you could almost make that argument that it really threw me off. What an inconvenience. But his whole thing that he kept saying over and over is the thing we look out for more than anything is the safety of
your
our guests.
Yeah.
The last thing we want is something to happen tragic. So we err on the side of caution. If there's something goes on, the alarm goes off as you experience. Yeah, she didn't want any of that.
See, I thought I read somewhere that people can take action now against you if you post something up on social media about service. I just read this.
Who would do that?
I don't know. I got to do some research. I just know. First of all, you should go to the company, and if you have a problem with a company, I'd even say 9 out of 10 times the company's going to try and rectify the situation.
I would imagine.
I'd say
they
9 out of 10.
They want it fixed.
Right, because they want you to come back.
Absolutely.
That's the whole key.
Yeah.
So if somebody puts something on social media, I always feel like I don't trust that person.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Because there's
like
something behind it.
Right.
Yeah.
Try and rectify it. If you're unable to, then maybe you're in the wrong.
Here's what I did. Tell me if you think this was a good move or not. I was proud of myself for this. I said to the guy, I just witnessed that whole thing. I think you handled yourself great. I go, give me your card and your boss's card. Because he just gave the woman his boss's card because she explained she's going to say what a horrible job he did. And he didn't do a horrible job. He did a great job. So I said, I know it's going to be your word against this woman's, the customers. I go, I'm going to write to the guy, your boss, and say,
really?
I was there for the whole thing. Yeah, I've got his card at home. I'm going to send a text later today or an email just saying, I saw the whole thing. Your guy did a great job.
Look at you.
He didn't want to be.
You're like Clark Kent.
Wait a second.
Now with your fake Walgreens glasses on,
now I'm like Clark Kent. Do you still recognize me? It's me.
Clark Kent.
Yes. So the L is silent. Noel. All right. So I.
That's not Christmas.
To me, He did the right thing. He did such the right thing.
It's gotta suck to be in a position to deal with customers these days.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, horrible.
I can't stand people. I mean, I know that I'm a lot to deal with, but I really try to be fair. Like, if somebody screwed me, I'm going to say, you know what? I don't like what you did. I think that's wrong. I'm not going to go to social media about it.
But what in that situation, what could the hotel have done differently? They have an alarm system set up to where if something potentially catastrophic happens, it lets people in the area know. Now, we learned then that only 3 of the floors were affected by this, 8, 7, and 6. I was on 6. So the whole hotel wasn't evacuated. It was just the people on those floors. I think they did everything right. This guy did everything right. He said to the woman at some point, because she kept saying what a whore. She goes, I don't know how long you've been in the hotel business, but you're awful at it. Because normally if you go to a good hotel and you tell them something like this, they will comp your room in a minute and you're fighting me on it. And he goes, ma'am, you're being disrespectful. He just said that and he just gives her a look like, that's all I'm going to say about this.
Yeah.
And it's true.
I just don't like the, you know, I am owed this.
Yeah.
No one's owed anything.
No.
And, all right, ask for your 3 days if there was a fire and you were near death.
Yeah, then you get it.
And some freebies in the future.
Well, what if, all right, so water's coming into the ceiling on some of these floors. What if you brought stuff and it's underneath one of these leaks and your stuff is ruined? I think you get all that money back.
Of course you will.
Deserved, right? Yeah.
I'm just, Ryan Burroughs scared to come in.
If I was Ryan, I'd be scared to come in. A lot of tension in here. I'm going to give him some chewy lemon heads.
That you stole.
I don't think I stole them,
Ryan Burrow's going to do some news.
Ryan.
Bill Leff has stolen some candy from...
Some chewy lemon heads?
The number one rule in Radio Production 101, don't eat while you're on air.
Oh, right.
Bill does not adhere to any kind of broadcast.
That even goes before don't swear, by the way.
So that rule number one...
Rule number one, don't eat before you swear.
And then don't swear.
Yes.
Is there a third rule, or is the, are those only two?
Try and be entertaining.
Keep the needle moving.
Yeah.
Is one of them, right?
All right. All right. Ryan Burrow with the news coming up in just a little bit, and then more of us on the bonus hour. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Hang on. I swear to God.
I can't hear anything in these.
All right. Well, we're still on the air
it's
here.
Not plugged in.
Don't swear. Don't eat. Don't swear.
All right. Here.
Don't drink. Don't smoke. What do you do?
This bad music. What? Jasmine, if this isn't rectified by tomorrow, I am not doing a stream.
Jasmine wants to now be called Jazzman.
All right. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're on the stream, the bonus hour, Bill Leff Unleashed, Stream of Consciousness.
The Patty Duke Show. Some people call this that. I don't know why.
Are you on your second box?
Yeah, I finished my second box of Chewy Lemon Heads. Can I ask a question? There was a time where this company, Ferrero Pan, I believe, right? All right, so they did the lemon heads. They did the grape. Were they called Sir Grape-a-Lot or something like that? All right. They also had cherry ones called Cherry Chan. You can't have those anymore, right?
They don't have them anymore.
They stopped making those?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's offensive. Isn't it? I think it is. I'm offended by these, too. What if your head was actually a lemon? You go into a candy store, you see these? I think that'd be awful.
Do you have a badge now? Are you the moral police?
Yeah, the moral police.
Captain Moral?
Yeah, Earl Moral. Remember him, bro?
I do, yes.
I'm thinking of Earl Holloman for some reason.
Yeah.
He was fantastic.
Made for TV movie.
Policewoman.
Yep.
All right, Ryan Burrows here, rolling his eyes, ready to do some real news.
Are any of the stories Wendy and I
Earl
just...
Gray.
Are the things Wendy and I just discussed going to be in the news, or do you have separate stories?
Yes.
Some of them? All right, well, I'll look forward to it.
All right, we're not having music, because I don't have access to it.
We don't deserve it. Do you remember a few moments ago, Wendy, I said, because I'm enjoying some lemon heads, and I said, for a while, this company had a candy that was like, they were like lemon heads, they were cherry, and they were called Cherry Chan. And I said, I think that would offend people now. Do you know, all right, so I was told this as a kid, and I believed it, and I just looked it up to verify it. It is true, according to the internet, which has a flawless record when it comes what is and what is not. Do you know what Jay's potato chips were called in the 1940s?
Yes, I do.
I don't.
The Y was a P.
Yeah. They were called Japs potato chips, and then Pearl Harbor took place.
Yeah,
and the people over at the food company said, "Well, I don't know if this is a good name for these anymore," and they changed.
Sure. And I went to Valparaiso University, and I don't even know what the name of the mascot was, but it was some German name. And when World War II happened, they changed it to Crusaders from a German. Could offend a whole different group of people as
it
well.
It could. Do you know what it was, or you don't know what it was?
No, I don't even think I could pronounce it, to be honest with you. I could look it up here. But yeah, there were a lot of German-related titles and names that got changed during World War II in the United States, that's for sure.
Is the word sauerkraut offensive?
Sometimes.
It
depends on how
like
long it's been out.
An angry German fella, doesn't it?
Depends how long it's been out. They don't make
My parents told me this when I was a kid about the Jay's potato chips, and I go, come on, that's just a story that they told. That can't be right.
It was the same logo,
true.
Too, the same font and everything.
Exactly. Yeah, just one letter different. Yep. So true.
But the things you look up, I was looking up Annoying Orange, which is just a crazy cartoon because it's an orange alert, which I've never heard of that before. Ryan said it's an orange alert.
Yeah, that has to do with the heat index, right?
Yep, heat index. Orange alert. It's not red. I asked one of the health people about why today? I mean, it's hot. It's always hot. What is it?
It's
matter?
The humidity.
The humidity, apparently, it just expands all of the pollution molecules out there. And because there's no breeze to blow it away, we're basically just sitting in soup of
that's what it felt like.
Yeah. Sweat.
It felt like just soup when you walk outside. That's why I can't believe, I guess you running around playing tennis yesterday created some breeze.
Well, it was hotter.
He was
it was hotter in Indiana than it was here, And really, on a day like yesterday or even today, the last thing you want to do is run around in the heat for 3 hours, but they were encouraging it and rewarding us for it.
Yeah, so, I mowed yesterday. I was
and knocked you out, didn't it?
By the end of that, it was really bad. Went to the Bears game on Saturday, and it got hotter as we got down there. It got hotter and hotter. I thought, it's always cooler by the lake. Bring a jacket. No, I was sweating.
Yeah.
It was pretty hot. I'm going to the last preseason Bears game on Thursday. Bill laughs at me every time I go. I have a friend, Sue, who she and her husband, Jeff, have season tickets. And I went last year to the first preseason, and it's fun for me.
Yeah.
And I'm going on Thursday, and Bill will laugh at me.
A lot more families, I think, during the preseason, I noticed, because, it's not...
Less expensive.
Well, I think that there are a lot of tickets to be passed out.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. It's like, here, you take the tickets, and once we get to regular season. But I got to tell you, I love this city, but Soldier Field is just getting into that stadium,
getting out of that stadium.
I spent the second quarter, in line waiting for pizza. And I know it's preseason for them, too. I know that the vendors and everything like that.
That's a half an hour.
They have got to figure out a better way. I mean, I think about that. I missed an entire quarter of football.
Right.
I mean, imagine if I had been paying all these. I mean, I was one of those fortunate people who someone gave tickets to. But, I mean, imagine if they've got to figure that out. I mean, the baseball stadium seemed to have it figured out. Why does Soldier Field have such a hard time shuttling people around and moving people around?
It was bad last year when I went too, and just getting in the field.
Oh, yeah.
And my friend Sue said you can't bring a purse. They say you can't bring any bags or anything, and so I was stuffing things in my pockets in the car, and I was aware of it. And then I see girls with purses, little like party fun bags that they bring with, not like their big purse.
A class bag or something that's only like they've got the dimensions that you can bring.
I gotta look that up because I need stuff in there.
Where DePaul plays too at that new stadium over by it's Wintrust Arena. Over down by McCormick Place, the women, you have to have a clear see-through.
They won't let you in.
Wendy, I was referred to as a party fun bag in college. Is that a compliment or a slam? I can't tell the difference.
It took us when we went. I took my wife to my wife and daughter to Taylor Swift, and it took 2 hours just to get out of the Soldier Field parking lot.
2 hours.
It's ridiculous. Well, there's only one way out. There's one way in. There's no way to move 60,000 people through this city and get them out to the interstate.
Most stadiums of any substance have various escape routes, but because of the situation of where Soldier Field is on the lake, you obviously can't head east. There's no way to do that. And it's impossible if you go north or south. That becomes an issue, too, because where would you go once you went that way? Have to go west.
Unfortunately, my sister actually lives a few blocks from Soldier Field, so we walked to her place. We figured we'll watch some of the Cubs game, and we'll get in the car, and she's going to take us to the train station. So we watch about a half hour of the Cubs game, wait for things to die down. We got back into her car. She was going to drop us off at Ogilvy, and just same thing, bumper to bumper.
Yeah.
And I was behind one of these like religious trucks that was blaring, we were literally like six blocks behind this in a dead standstill as this thing was just blaring things at us. And it's like, we want to be. Because we were like right behind it. It's not like, oh, look at that go by. It's like, the speaker is aimed right at us.
That's the problem listen, I know that I'm older than when I first got into radio. Yeah. I understand that. But it's sometimes not fun to go to events anymore. I'm not kidding.
Because of the semantics of just playing getting there and getting home. Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Oh, you want to get this?
Yeah, I got it. Where's
the
phone?
I can switch my internet provider.
Hello? It's still ringing, Wendy. I don't know how to do that.
This is really a crap-ass setup.
It's not set up for regular broadcasts.
Show.
It's set up to do production work.
Yeah.
And it's a great production studio.
He also does orthodontistry
in
here.
This isn't live, is it?
No, this isn't.
Okay, good.
I'm going to this preseason game, and my friend Sue, I'm going with, four of us.
Are you
going to
drive?
I'm not quite sure. I think last time
bring Advil.
We drove and parked by bars.
Okay.
So then we walked over.
Yep.
And then we rickshawed it back, which was pretty nice.
Yeah, those guys, they lined up there. They got
so
the music blasting. And I always wonder, how much does that cost? I guess it depends on where you get picked up, huh?
I think we each, there were four of us, and I think we each gave him $10.
Okay.
If you think about it, $40 is way too much, but I didn't care. I'm only paying $10.
Sure.
I don't care what he gets.
Sure. Mm. And did you pick your rickshaw based on the music that was blasting?
Yes, and we took the guy who had it all lit up. Yep, he was playing All Summer Long by Kid Rock. I'm sorry that one got me.
Yeah,
but there were four girls that had a few pops over at Soldier Field.
Okay.
And, we hopped on the rickshaw. But that made it easier. I know that sounded
that's a
weird.
That every time I hear it, I go, "Am I hearing that right?" Yeah, all right. And there's somewhere there's a guy named Rickshaw with a big smile on his face. Yeah,
they have a boat taxi there too, but I don't even know how that would work.
Really?
After you walk down by the Field Museum, you can pick up the water taxi there. I don't understand. I don't know what ticket you have to take it back. You know,
and then it goes down the river?
I assume so,
yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they don't
to the train station?
I would think so, yeah.
All right, because we drove down and parked over on, I don't know where we parked, by some restaurant, and we did like a little pre-game cocktailing. And then we went to the game. It was super fun, but if you, like, I don't like to do that. You know me, I like to drive door to door.
Right, of course.
It's no fun anymore. I've become
I think parking, it was $40, right? I mean, it's probably more than that now.
Yeah.
It was just a few years ago, it was $40. I can imagine it'd be more, so.
Wow.
Yeah, you do, like, Spot Hero, and you find a $12 spot, and then...
Then you spend $40 getting a rickshaw.
That was worth it, though. I didn't, you know, it was $10. You wouldn't pay $10 for a rickshaw ride?
Oh, sure, I would.
When
depends
on
what they were playing.
Oh, and he was weaving in and out of cars. I mean, for a little while, I was in fear of dying.
Yes.
Because he's just on Lakeshore Drive weaving in and out of cars. But he got us back to the parking lot.
And then he was probably the only person moving north-south during that two-hour span after the game. I mean,
should rickshaw all the way home.
Go. Absolutely.
You can ride one on Lakeshore Drive?
I don't think he's supposed to.
I don't think you are supposed to.
Well, he didn't go. He, like, went through the traffic on Lakeshore Drive and then crossed over,
I don't think you're supposed to do
that. Oh, they all do.
Yeah?
Everybody does, because no
rickshaw operators, Ryan.
I don't know. If you go south out of there, if you go south out of... Do they let you go south down Lakeshore Drive out of...
No, we went through the tunnel, you know, where you go under Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah,
that's where we picked him up.
No, I understand. I'm just thinking traffic-wise, since everyone seems to be pushing toward the city, I'm trying to think, like, is it better to almost go south... Even if that's not the direction you're headed, just to get the heck out of traffic.
Out.
No, that's pretty backed up, too, getting on the Stevenson. Because that, you know, bottlenecks. And then, I mean, you know, all we have are the Bears. I'm sorry. I know, Bill, that doesn't make you happy.
That's not a good sound, no. One of the guys I played with this weekend became the third guy in a year who said, you know, football doesn't do it for me anymore. That's three guys, and four including me.
Yeah.
There was a time where I lived for football on Sundays. That's all Sunday meant to me was football. And now I just have no interest in it.
Is it
until the Super Bowl?
Is it
then
because
you
look at these men and think they're bashing their brains in?
No, because they're not winning. That's what it is.
Well, it's a combination of both. It's the combination of, I hate to say this, but the Bears have no idea what they're doing. Zero idea what they're doing. And then there is also the fact that they now know how dangerous, and I mean forever when you watch this, you go, this can't be good for you in the long haul.
But 10 years ago when you saw a big hit, you'd be like,
yeah!
And now you're like,
ooh, what's going to happen?
Took a couple years off that guy's life.
Yeah.
It's their decision to play, though, guys.
It is
totally their decision to play, but now...
Even knowing what could happen.
You and I have seen this. We've had a couple of former football players limp in and out of the studio where they're moving at one quarter their normal speed and it hurts them to sit down and they're making all kinds of, and you just go, oh man, I know they're doing this to earn a living, but the end result is
boxing
not going to be good.
Boxing isn't what boxing used to be. I mean, flashback decades to all the kids that were growing up boxing. Muhammad Ali kind of, he was able to kind of straighten out his life because of boxing as a kid. You know, they brought him in the gym and he was able to kind of get focused, but I don't know. I don't know about football. I don't know which direction it's going. I think that you're going to have to sign a waiver. I think that I personally think that high schools eventually, and I think the insurance agents are going to get in there and say, you know, you can't do this anymore at the public school level.
No way is that going to happen.
See, I think it's going to become a club sport. I think it's going to become a club sport, which will
turn
make it kind of a rich people sport, I guess, to some extent.
Did you see the thing that 60 Minutes did? So now I think we're 2 years away from 60 Minutes report, where they were talking about how colleges make not only the money from football, they make enough money from football to fund pretty much everything that goes on at the college, extracurricular activity-wise.
Sure.
So without the football programs at these schools, they would be up in arms. They would have no idea how to survive. So it becomes a necessity to have college football.
College football might be a little bit different of a beast. I have a feeling that if you have enough high school kids that you know, can turn around and sue a school,
yeah.
You know.
But what's going to happen, like, once it's determined, because they're already kind of on the fringe of this, that without a doubt that football activity screws with your brain. There's no way they're not going to figure that out. So you've had a smattering of people come forward with lawsuits, but what happens once it's proven beyond any shadow of belief? So anyone who ever played football and is injured can now say, hey, I'm screwed up because of this game, and you didn't warn me properly, you didn't equip me properly.
But not everybody who plays it gets screwed up.
Not everybody. No, not everybody.
And I don't see them for a minute removing it in high school.
Really?
That wouldn't bother me if they did, but you just have kids. I mean, that's what everything's based on, the homecoming dance,
but they will have to figure out a way
everything.
To clear themselves, like Ryan said, with some sort of a thing where it says, you have to sign this waiver that totally excuses us.
I think that down the road, where you're gonna, you know, when you fill out your insurance forms and they ask you, you know, have you ever been exposed to lead? Have you ever smoked cigarettes? Yeah. I think one of them's going to be, have you played football?
Yeah,
that's a great point.
I think that down the road, that will be something that you will, you know, you'll fill that out when you do your insurance, when you get your new employer, and they'll ask you, you know, all of these questions, and then that's going to be one of them.
Why don't they switch it to flag football?
Actually, flag football is growing pretty big right now. In Palatine, where I'm at, they've got more flag football, I think, than...
Do they?
But at schools?
Actually, I've heard, too, that in Texas and Alabama, maybe Texas and Louisiana, because they've had so many kids pull out of football... they've actually slimmed down to 7v7, which actually opens up the field more, and it's more like just passing and throwing and catching and running, rather than the, you know, guys busting heads with each other at the front. And they say this is really catching on, and you might see that kind of dynamic start to filter up into the higher levels in college and even in the pros, of that style of football, as opposed to, you know, this kind of ground game where everyone, you know, the offense and defensive lines kind of smash into each other.
Yeah.
Think about how hard some people got hit in dodgeball when we were in school. I mean, I'm thinking about that now. Like, that was way worse because there wasn't football in elementary school. We were relentless with those dodgeballs.
Yeah.
And even kickball to a certain extent, because, you know, you'd try to get the runner out, so you'd whip it so hard.
Yeah, and that's a hard ball to take.
Hockey's
going to go through the same thing, I have a feeling.
Do you think so?
The NHL hasn't yet determined that what is happening. You know, they don't have the sample size quite like the NFL does at this point.
Right.
We'll see moving forward. I mean, it can't be good to bash your head against, you know, a stick or a glass or ice either. So, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
But it's not... All right, so in
it's not
in,
full contact like football is.
It's not only,
it could be, but
it's not full contact, and the repetitiveness of nonstop hits. Like every time there's a play in football, there's guys like every time. But in hockey, you can go a whole game if you want to without getting
hit.
You
got some of these bruisers who've been fighting each other. You know that they're starting to file lawsuits.
And
now,
if somebody is checking you and your head flies back, that's what they're also saying.
Yeah,
because it's not just one. You know, years ago they thought it was one big hit would give you a concussion. Now it's like repetitive. Your brain basically banging against your skull. So if you get checked and your head rolls back like whiplash, that is. That's what the problem is now.
Well, Carcillo is the one who's kind of leading the charge on this one. Carbom, out of all the people. And actually, it's interesting that it's him because
that was his goal. Yeah.
A lot of the fights,
but that was his position.
Yeah.
All right, I have a fraud alert to look into.
What's wrong, Wendy?
I told you I got a text that I have some fraud.
$400 worth?
Yeah, did you steal?
I stole lemon heads. I didn't steal money.
$400 in undocumented lemon heads.
Yep. It's happened before.
If I find out it's from a candy store,
what a weird coincidence that would be.
Yeah, really weird.
What a crazy coincidence.
Ryan, thank you so
much. Thanks, Ryan. We'll close things off in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy and WGN. What happened there?
Jasmine, I'm trying to play our closing theme and I don't know. There we go.
It is.
All right. Good.
That's good. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, for listening, for hopefully enjoying what you heard.
Candy Stealer.
It does seem like, as I think about the turn of events, it does seem like I stole candy.
There's a cup there. Would you like to use somebody else's cup? Maybe chew on someone's pen? There's a hard hat. You want to put that on? This isn't your office. What if somebody came in and ate your Anderson's candy that you didn't share with me or Jasmine?
That'd be rude, wouldn't it? But that's an office. This is like...
This is someone's office.
Yeah?
This is where they do production. And since they don't have an office, they put various things out here, like a thing of candy under there.
So that picture of a baby I took, that's not mine either.
It's a cute kid, though. I'd keep
it. It's a good-looking kid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll bring that home. Put that in my living room.
Explain that one to Terry.
Right. Who's this? Gerald. Oh. All right. Hey, guys, that's all. We've given all we can. We gave our usual 30%. We hope you enjoyed as you heard. We'll try it again tomorrow. Are you in tomorrow, Wendy?
I'm going to give 35% tomorrow.
Overachiever. That's tomorrow. Overachievement day. Bye, everybody. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.